Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I'm your host, and we are at so risky. I'm get some.
Can you hear me?
Hi, this is Janice. I apologize. I'm on mute.
What is
Janice, we didn't clear up that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to just for a second play some music, and then I'm going to see if I can call you on our switchboard. All right.
Okay.
So, real quickly, we're just going to be playing a little bit of music, and then we're going to see if we can get Mother Janice back on. And real quickly, we're just going to play some music and see if we can get her back on. Okay? Sorry, everybody, for the technical difficulties.
Let me hear the worshipers! Where's all of my praise? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together, because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
All right, how much
better? Yes. I apologize to everybody for that. You know, the devil is really busy, you know, and he just don't want nobody else entering into the kingdom of God. But let me explain something to you. You know, I'm going to go somewhere else with this topic, and where I'm going at with this topic is we know for sure that Christ is coming back. Because anytime you have any type of interruptions, you know, cause as a child, I always heard my mother say that we'll have many interruptions, you know, and whether it be our children, whether it be our brother or sister, friends, neighbor, or even our lifetime partners, you know. But Satan, you're a liar. You're not going to do this tonight, not tonight. You know, but I just want everybody to know that God is real. Jesus is real. He came down here so that we can be saved. He gave us this world so that we can live abundantly in it. You know, and we have so much destruction in the world today. So much just have been destroyed. So many have been, you know, so many of his children have been lost on the wayside, you know. So what we have to do is get ourselves together, you know, and make sure that we don't become one of them people or one of God's children that turn away from God, you know. But what we do want to do is turn away from our ways. You know, we want to get our life together, accept Christ into our life, and live in the world that he gave us, the beautiful, which is a beautiful world, you know. We have a beautiful world. He gave us so much, you know, to live. He gave us so much to live with and to live for, you know. But a lot of us just take it and use it for our own good. Like they say, use things on our own understanding, you know. And even with all the disaster that's going on, the wars, the blowing up of different countries and stuff like and things like that, you know. And that's by man's hand, you know. So we have to get together as women, brothers and sisters in Christ, have to get together to put a chain together, make our prayers, not going to win a night, you know. And we just have to know that living for Christ, we're saved. We're living for Christ, accepting Christ into our lives, you know, and trusting and believing that he is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's the Alpha, Omega, beginning and end, the first and the last, you know. And when I say save ourselves, I mean get your life right with Christ. Get your life right with Christ. So if you need to help somebody else that needs to get right with Christ, then you're all right. And you're good, you know, because that's what we're supposed to do, is help the next person, you know. It's just like saying, my neighbor don't have water to drink, but I got gallons of water over here to drink, you know, and my neighbor have a baby that needs milk, you know. How can that baby survive without, you know, if I'm a neighbor that has it, you know, help that person out. Give my neighbor, you know, give your neighbor some water so that she can feed her baby, you know. And just be, oh, Jesus, help me, Lord. Just be a good and faithful servant of Christ. And I just can't thank you enough. I just can't thank Christ. I can't thank the Lord enough for just accepting, you know, just accepting to come down here to this earth so that we may be saved, as well as God. I can't thank God enough for just come down here in the image of man and helping his children do the right thing, you know, or even giving Jesus, help me, Lord. Moses, you know, the Ten Commandments, you know, giving, you know, everything that Christ done, he's done it accordingly. He's done it accordingly so that he can show, you know, that I am the way, the truth, and the life, you know. And for a lot of us, you know, our ancestors, I'm going to say that, because our ancestors done a lot of things, you know, that we have to suffer for today, you know. And thank God that he sent Jesus, you know, and thank Jesus for accepting to die so that we may be saved, you know. And God rules again. That's what saves us, you know, because right now we're under free will, you know, and our free will is to do things the way that actually he gave us the mind to go ahead and live free. So it's up to us to accept and trust and believe. He gave us that freedom. So we under what they call law, you know. So we just have to make sure that we accept, trust, and believe, you know, that he died and he rose again, you know. And doing that, trusting and believing and accepting Christ, it will help us enter into the kingdom of heaven, and it will help us to live a godly, Christly life. Not saying that roses and peaches and creams, you know, because we all go through different changes in our lives. Christ on our side, we can make it. We can make it, you know. And I have to just say, you know, that living for Christ, you're going to have a lot of turns. You're going to have a lot coming at you. You're going to have things that you believe that happen to you. But as long as we trust and believe in God, it's going to be all right. Trust me. It's going to be all right, because I have been through a whole lot in my life, you know, and trusting and believing and calling and pleading the blood of Jesus helped me through a whole lot, you know. And just here recently, you know, my grand
son was in some trouble, you know, and the trouble that he was in, you know, I didn't see no way out, you know, but he kept telling me that grandmama didn't have anything to do with it. I didn't have anything to do with it, you know, and I said to him, you know, if you had anything to do with this here fight that happened, you know, then, you know, you're going to juvie. You're going to become a juvenile delinquent, and then that record's going to follow you for the rest of your life, you know. And he just looked at me and said, Grandma, I promise you I didn't have anything to do with it. And I said to him, well, what you going to do on these days of suspension is you're going to pray three times a day. You're going to pray three times a day, and you're going to pray. And your prayer, you're going to make sure that you ask God to give us or the people sight, show us what really happened in that situation. And let me tell you how good God is. It was a video. And in the video, it was a young man. Yeah, well, let me tell you the story first. It was several, it was two young men that were beaten by 15, 16 other young men. And my grandson was implicated as one of those 15 or 16 young men because they were his friends. And basically, he kept saying, no, 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 Grandma, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. I didn't do it. You know, it's not that I didn't believe him, but when you have a lot of adults stating that, yes, he did, he did, he did, you know, and he's in a video, you know, and with me telling him to pray, you better pray that they find a video where you're not in it, you know. So what happened was we went back and the video was showed. As the video was showed, it was a young man that faintly resembled my grandson. But then we and good standards. Amen. And I just want to thank everybody for listening tonight. We're at 1,811th episode of Purpose Kingdom Network. I'm your host, Mother Janice Hudson, and I'm the host of It's Just Story, So Tell It. Amen. And I'm just trying to help, you know, some lost souls enter into the kingdom of heaven. You know, so if we do the right thing by God, if we accept Jesus as our personal Savior, and if we believe that he died and he rose again, then we shall be saved. Amen. And I just want to thank everybody that listening tonight. You know, we just go through different changes in life, you know, and we have to make sure that we have our whole armor of Christ on, you know, and just do the right thing by people and by ourselves, you know, and make sure that we do what it is that we're supposed to do in Christ. Amen. Amen. I just want to that you know. Even doing his works, even getting out there spreading the word of the Lord, you know, even helping other people that possibly don't know Christ, or even people that don't know how to pray or don't trust or don't believe, you know, because you have a lot of non-believers out there, you know. And I was talking with my oldest daughter, and we had a conversation. I was talking to her yesterday, and she was just thanking me for being an inspiration to her and her friends, you know, because we had a little get-together probably about a year and a half ago at my son's house. He had just got a new home. And at this get-together, you know, he had his family and friends over. And with his family and friends, you know, you have people that just sit around and talk about, you know, things that they've been through in life, or talk about the good times, talk about the old times, you know. But see, I'm always one that wherever I go, whatever I do, I always have to bring up Christ, you know. And that's just my forte, I guess you could say. But we got to talking about, you know, the Lord, you know. And then my daughter's fiance then was actually saying that he grew up in a church, and his grandmother took him back and forth to church. But the things that he saw, he didn't get no understanding. So he didn't get feeling out of it. He didn't believe. Actually, he went to one point and say he don't believe. And I was like, how can you say you don't believe and your grandmother brought you up in church, you know? And basically it was because some of the things that I guess he seen the adult do, you know, he didn't think that there was a God, you know. And then he was debating and arguing, you know. Well, more so debating with my daughter. And I was like, told her basically don't debate, you know, don't go back and forth with him. I said, because that's what the devil wants you to do, to go back and forth with him. I just give him a story of your life growing up and what made you trust and believe that there is a God, you know. And she was basically saying it to him, you know. Then he came back, well, how do you know? How do you feel? How did this, how that, you know. And I stated to him, you know, you have to trust and believe in your heart, you know. I said, well, if you want to seek God, you know, you have to seek him for yourself. Can't nobody seek him for you. You had to seek him for yourself, you know. And basically, he was like, well, how can I do? I said, well, this is what you do. I said, you pray. And when you pray with all sincerity. Don't sit around people, and I don't mean sit around somebody and go on your knees and start praying. I said, go to God and ask God to give you the knowledge and understanding. You know, I said, and get your Bible, open up your Bible. When you open your Bible, read, you know. And he was like, so what do I do, you know, if I don't understand? I said, well, you ever read a book and a book brought your interest? You know, you got interest or got excited about reading a book? He said, yes. I said, well, I'm going to tell you what got me through. I said, read the book of Job. And when you read the book of Job, put yourself in the place of Job. You know, when you put yourself in a place of Job, just holler Jesus, you know, the blood of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus, you know, because Job is a man that went through so much. And Job is a man that trusted and believed and wouldn't turn his back, wouldn't give up on the Lord, you know. I said, so when you look and when you read the book of Job, then you come back and tell me what you got out of the book of Job. So I forgot all about that. I had talked to him and told him that. And my daughter and me got on the phone last night, and she was like, Mom, you know, I talked to Kesey, and Kesey was telling me, you know, that, thank you, Mom. I'll tell your mom I said thank you. She said, because I trust and I believe and I accepted Christ into my life. You know, I'm like, wow. I'm like, where did that come from? And then she reminded me of the conversation that we had and reminded me that how he was so against it or how he didn't have an understanding of it when he was younger, you know. And once he became a man, you know, he didn't know, you know, how to accept and trust and believe, you know. And he said, well, he read the book of Job, and he just accepted Christ. He trusted and believed, you know, and he got a better understanding of the way that I had explained it to him than he ever got then, you know, when he was younger. Because even when we're young, even my own children, you know, basically was telling me, you know, like that because it was pushed on them, like, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, you know. And sometimes we do things and not realizing what we do, you know, and teaching children, you know, especially when you have a child that just want to be rebellious. A child that just want to do what they want to do, you know. So it just goes into one ear and out the other. And that being said, you know, we have to make sure that when we talk to our children and teach our children of Christ or let our children know that there's a God, you know, we have to make sure that we give them some type of understanding. Or give them an understanding that what we're going through, what our feelings are, you know, and what makes us feel that he's real, you know. And to do those things, we can't scream it at them. We can't howl at them. We can't make, well, you're going to da-da-da-da-da, you know. Because that was something that I went through as a child, you know. And it was just basically, you're going to church, you know, and you're going to church, you know, just going to church, but I'm going to church for what? You know, if you're not teaching me, you know, and you're just sending me to church and I'm just sitting there playing in church and a preacher preaching a ceremony, you know, and I'm not really getting anything out because I don't have an adult there to teach me to understand and show me what it is or show me how good God is or how good God has been throughout centuries, you know, and still is today, you know. So we have to make sure that we, our children, understand what Christ is and how Christ came and died on the cross so that we may be saved. Make sure we get the screen in the ears, you know. Everybody to know, you know, that Christ is real.
drill. You know, I can pull on the tool. I have a grandson, that is here 7 years old right now. You know, it's a lot of life, you know, and young life. And we, you know, buddy is screaming out when from the family because that you got to do, you know, now and this is kind of that. You know, my main thing was to do was put out the, all I need to do is to make sure the trash is out Thursday night. If I got up Friday morning and the trash man is outside and I got to scream and holler through the house, get the trash, put the trash out. Well, now I'm bored because we only had one trash day here, you know, and with five children being in the house, it's always trashy. Because every time you turn around, somebody got a bag of chips. So all them chips adds up, you know. So we got to make, my thing was to make sure the trash was out. And I said to him, you know, if you don't like what's going on or you don't like what I tell you to do, you can get up and go. You can go get out my house. You don't have to be here, you know. But that was just the anger that I had in me because of trash not being put out and then the devil moving the way he wanted to move us and making me say mean and hateful things to this kid, you know. But me not realizing that this kid works too. This kid works, and he comes in late at night, you know. So he can forget at times, you know. But and the devil, you know, well, I'm not even going to blame him. Though. I didn't want to see it that way. The only thing I saw was that the trash wasn't out, and this trash is going to stink in the house or even in the alleyway if it's sitting in the alleyway or for another whole week, you know. So I always taught my children as well as my grandchildren, you know, don't sit and scream and holler and be disrespectful, you know. If you see me in that uproar or upset like that, wait till it calms down, you know, and then come to me and say to me, grandmother, I actually forgot to put out the trash. I apologize to you for forgetting to put out the trash.
In the morning,
is screaming. Yeah. And I am back in Canada, you know, to everything. It's just like I said, it's adults, you know. It's about getting He will. His understand. Just get a understanding. He will give you the knowledge and understanding. Amen. And I just want to go into this. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I just want to read a quick Bible verse. And amen, Jesus, hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. But let me do a little prayer just before I go into this here Bible verse, or before we get into the call of salvation. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, I just want to thank you, Lord, for being the ruler of my life, for being a King of Kings, Lord of Lords. I want to thank you, Jesus, for just loving us so much that you accepted to die and rise again so that we may be saved. And thank you, Father God, for sending your only begotten Son, Jesus, to save the world. I just want to thank you, Lord, for everything you do, everything you've done, and everything you're going to do in my life. I want to thank you, Lord, for just being there for us in our time of need. And, Lord, please put your healing arm around each and every one that's on this way tonight, Lord Jesus. Touch them, Lord Jesus, and help them, Lord Jesus, seek you. Let them know that you are there for them in their times of need. Let them know, Father God, that you are here, and all they have to do is knock, and the door shall be open to them. Seek, and they shall find, and ask, and it shall be given unto them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to thank you for everything. In your mighty name, Jesus Christ, I pray. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. And I just want to read this little scripture. Is amen. And it goes like, through Christ. Jesus. Through Christ, you have come to trust in God, and you have placed your faith and hope in God, because he raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory. And that's in 1 Peter 1 and 21 in the NLT. Amen. And because your faith is much too small, what I am about to tell you is true. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, it is enough. You can say to him, mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. And that's in Matthew 17 and 20 in the NRV. Amen. And that's what I had wanted to read to you, because by faith, we are good, you know, by faith. Through faith, we can move that mountain, or we can say to that mountain, move. Amen. And we just have to trust and believe, you know. And this is one of the best parts of the show right here, you know, and this is called the Call of Salvation, you know. And in our Call of Salvation, we just basically like give you the opportunity to accept Christ into your life as your personal Savior. All you have to do is accept God, you know, and say, Lord, I accept you. Lord, I am a sinner, and I want to be saved, and I accept you, Jesus, into my life as my personal Savior. I do believe that you died and you rose again. And if you said that prayer, you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into your life, then you are saved. Amen. Just tell somebody. Let somebody know that I accepted Jesus Christ into my life. Let somebody know. Whether it's a friend, whether it's a mother, a brother, a sister, you know. Just let somebody know that you accepted Christ. And once you accepted him, you are saved. Amen. And right now I'm going to have Brother Rob come on with the announcements. Amen.
Amen, amen. So real quickly, I'm going to the announcements. This is the Pirate Purpose Kim Network. I'd like to thank each and every one of you for joining us for tonight's episode, no matter where in the world you are. Whether you listen to us via phone or internet, we greatly appreciate your listenership and support of us here at Purpose Kingdom Network. And we also thank those that share with your friends and family members and letting them know that Purpose Kingdom Network is on the air. Anytime we do a live broadcast, we're broadcasting live on www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. And when we do a live show, we do have a calling number, which is 319-527-6091. And we also do have our past shows where you can go also to the same website, www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. All you have to do is type in the show name or the host name, and you can hear that show in its entirety and at your convenience. And we also thank those that also share with their friends and family members, letting them know that they can hear any of our rebroadcasts. Okay, and also, if you want to correspond with us via email, you can correspond with us at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com. You can send your comments, questions, concerns. You can simply say hello or send a prayer request. We honor those that send a prayer request. And also, if you're in need of a Bible, just please leave your contact information, and we'll see about getting you a Bible. We also do have a radio network, which is pkn.com. There you can hear 24 hours of music of inspiration. We're on Radio Co. And we do have, lost my thought. But there, also don't forget that we do have Radio Co. and PKN. We're also on social media pages as well as Instagram and Twitter, which we're under Purpose_Kingdom. Tomorrow night, we're going to be broadcasting at the 9 p.m. hour, and we'll be having the show God Got Spoons, and that's going to be hosted by Minister Adrian Allen. So once again, with God's will, God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour for God Got Goons, and that's going to be hosted by Minister Adrian Allen. And so with that being said, that's going to be the end of our announcements, and I'm going to turn the show back over to Mother Janice.
All right, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you. Amen. You know, and we just have to know, you know, that God is there, you know, the Lord is there for us, you know, and we just have to do things the way of thus says the Lord, you know. We just have to do things in the way of Christ. Amen. And you know, like I said, we all have a story to tell, you know, and we have, you know, a lot of us have multiple stories to tell, you know, and with our stories, we can tell our stories, you know, and telling our stories is, can and possibly will help some lost souls enter into the kingdom of Christ. Amen. And we're going through a whole lot with our teenagers today. We know that it's so much destruction and, you know, so much going on in the world today, you know. And our teenagers are really lost, you know. They're lost. They need us, you know. We have to try to pull them back in. We got to pull them back in. We got to introduce them, you know, bring them back into Christ, you know, help them, you know. You know, I don't know what happened or where, you know, this comes, where these things come from or where this demonicness come from with our teenagers, you know, and running around hurting one another, you know, or hurting each other, hurting elderly people, you know. They are really running amok out here, killing each other, you know. And we don't want to have to keep burying our children, you know. We just have to get with these parents, you know, get with these mothers, get with these fathers, you know, pull your children back in, put your foot down, you know, and let your child know that you are the controller of their lives until they become their own adults. These children out here, 13 or 14 years old, killing each other, some 12-year-olds, you know, killing each other, pulling triggers. You know, where do they get the guns from, you know? Where do they get the time to even do half the stuff that they do, you know? Who are teaching them? Who are raising them? Let's get together and get our children and bring our children back, you know, help our children, you know, because they're killing each other. They're hurting each other. They're hurting senior citizens. You know, they're hurting people that's already down and in wheelchairs and stuff like that, you know. And just thinking about the flash mob, you know, this thing that's called a flash mob, you know, children as young as 12 years old, you know, running around doing things that they shouldn't even be doing, you know, hurting people, you know. And it's not right. It's not right. It's not right. So I'm asking all the mothers that's out there that have some type of control of your child, have some type of fear in them, you know. You got to get that fear in them so that they can come back and hear, you know, and understand. You know, we got to grab our children. We have to grab them, you know. Like I said, I don't know who's out here teaching them and raising them, but we got to put the fear of God in them. We have to put the fear of God in them. We got to get them back. We got to get them back because right now, our children right now are our future. And if this is the future of my grandchildren, I don't want it. Amen. If this is the future of my grandchildren, I don't want it. So let's put our foot down, you know, because when I say parents, mothers, sisters, brothers, I don't mean just your child. I mean everybody's child. If you have it, because you got a lot of children that look up to adults that's not even their own adult, that's not even a family member adult, you know. So if you got a child that look up to you, do the right thing by them. Do things right that's around, that when they're around you, you know, so they can admire the good in us, so they can admire the good in us and want to do the right thing by themselves, by us, even by Christ, you know. Teach them, you know. And even teaching a child that's possibly not yours, they can take it back home and tell the family member, you know, well, Miss such and such done such and such, or Miss such and such, or Mr. such and such, da-da-da-da-da, and I felt good about it, you know. Even if you are a entrepreneur, if you have a little job, a small job, give them a job, you know. Because what I do with my grandchildren, my 14-year-old grandson, I take them to work with me at times. If you want to make some money, you know, you want them $250 sneaks, then you got to earn it. I'm not just going to go out there and buy you a pair of $250 sneaks and I come in the house, you laying up watching TV with popcorn falling all over you, you know, or the floor hadn't been swept or the refrigerator hadn't been cleaned out, you know. I'm not just going to do that. And that's what we do to our children. We give them when they don't deserve. You know, when I say they don't deserve, what 14-year-old coming in with $300 and $400 in their pocket and you didn't give it to them, you know, and you know he don't have a job or she don't have a job, you know. So you got to question that child. You got to question that child. Where are you getting this money from? Or where you, how did you earn that money? I didn't give it to you. You know, so make sure that we're doing the right thing by our children. You know, don't let your child walk in the house with $1,000 pair of pants on, $1,000 coat on, and you know you didn't buy it. You know,
Find out what's going on in that child's life. Sit down with your kids. Talk to your kids, you know. Let your kids show that love that your kids need, you know. And then a lot of these children out here just want discipline. And when they don't get the discipline, they just run amok, you know. A lot of them out here crying for the discipline, you know. I had a kid years ago, this young man, he was his mother's only child, you know, and he could do no wrong in her eyes. He could do no wrong. So if the little boy around the corner came and said, such and such took my bike, his mother would like, well, how do you know he took your bike? Did you see him on your bike? Well, I let him ride it and he didn't come back with it, you know. Okay, then when I see him, I'll talk to him, you know. And then the son would come home like, I take his bike. I see him, Mom. I have his bike, you know. And the mother just go on from there. But then she wake up the next morning, it's a bike in the house. You know you didn't buy the bike. Son, where you get this bike from? You told such and such you didn't take his bike. You told me that you didn't take such and such bike. So, I want you to give him his bike back. No, the mother just go on, let the boy ride the bike up and down the street, you know. And where I worked at, it was a Boys and Girls Club that I had worked in up in Bucks County. And this young man, he just was, like, he was horrible, running around beating up kids, smacking people, running. And they had a party at the Boys and Girls Club, an end-of-the-year party. And this young man, he had became a young adult from that teenage boy to that young adult. I think he was about 18, 19 years old. And he came into the party. When he came into the party, everybody was saying, ooh, you smell that? You smell that? And I smell what? What do you smell, you know? And then he walked past my booth. I was like, ooh, something smell like gasoline, you know. And then I got up out the booth, and my oldest son, he was there at the time being one of the bouncers, you know, and they said, such and such came in here. He had some gasoline on him. And I said, well, you got to find out what's going on and what he's doing with gas. My son walked him and told him that he had to leave, you know, because it smelled like gas. And this is a kid's party. He shouldn't even be in here, you know. And when he walked with him, he walked him out the door, you know, and then he basically told me, he said, look, man, he said, I don't know what you're going through, you know, he said, but this ain't a party for adults to be in here like that, you know. He said, I know you're still a young boy, you know, he said, but these are teenagers, you know, they under 18 years old, you know. And he said to my son, I understand. He said, I'm looking for somebody. He said, well, whoever you're looking for, you got to look for them outside. You can't look for them in here, especially with gasoline all over you, you know. And the boy, he just sat down on one of the benches outside and put his hand in his head. You know, he was crying. And then my son started talking to him, you know, asking what's going on with him, you know. And he just was like, everything in my life is just not right. You know, I'm just going through so much, you know. And my son was just talking to him. And as he finished the conversation with him, that young man said to my son, he said, thank you, man. He said, nobody never talked to me like that. He said, all I wanted is somebody to talk to me and hear me out and understand me, you know. And he thanked my son for that. And about 3 or 4 years after that, we saw this young man on the news. I don't know if you've seen that, you know. We saw this young man on the news, and he was basically like jumping from an apartment complex to apartment complex. It just happened like downtown. And actually on Delaware Avenue, somewhere up there. And he was setting, he had set his girlfriend's house on fire. I guess she had dumped him, and he set her house on fire with gasoline. And the cops, somebody had called the cops and told them that he had did it. And I guess he was in another apartment or in the hallway, trying to run out the hallway. But when he didn't, when he saw the cops, he ran and went to go jump from one apartment building to another apartment and fell to his death, you know. And the moral of that story is to let you know that, I mean, just like, listen, you know. Some of our children need to hear, you know, and this young man grew up from a teenager to a young adult and still was in turmoil, you know. So we can't keep, you know, as adults, we have to discipline our children. Our children cry out for discipline because, you know, and disciplining a child teach them love. It teach them that you are loved, you know. And when you discipline a child as a child, and when they grow up, they thank their parents. A lot of children thank their parents for giving them the discipline that they gave them, you know. Because I'm one of them children, you know. I couldn't stand the discipline that my mother gave me, you know. My dad was the greatest dad in the world, the best dad in the world, because when it was time to discipline us, with my dad would act like he said, house, cry, act like you crying. And he would be hitting the bed. And one day my mom walked in there and saw my dad hitting the bed. And we said, okay, Daddy, okay, Dad, we ain't going to do it no more. I'm sorry, Dad, we ain't going to do it no more. My mother walked in and took the belt and started being Daddy. You know, so this is what we have to do. We have to discipline our children because our children cries out for our love. And in disciplining them in the right way, I don't mean abusing them or hitting them upside the head, you know, with sticks and stuff like that. I mean just discipline them. Even if you had to sit them down and tell them a story where they can hear that story and cry, you know, because that actually my dad at one point really hit me one time. And when he hit me, it was like, whoa, are you kidding me? You never in your life hit me. I think I was about 11 years old, and he sent me to the store. I don't know if I told you guys this story before or not, but I'm just going to tell you this much before I get off. He sent me, I asked Daddy for money for bread, and he gave me the money for the bread. So I went to the store and got the bread. When I came back, it was some change left, and I put the change in my pocket like it was mine, you know. And he said to me, where my change at? I said, oh, I went to the store so I get to keep the change. He said, no, you don't get to keep the change. I'm like, why? He said, give me my change back. And I didn't understand why Daddy would take this change from me, and I went to the store for him to get a loaf of bread for me, you know, because I asked him to give me money for bread. So he said, give me my change back. I took the change out of my pocket, shoved it in his hand, and said, you gave Kay money to go to the store, which was the next door neighbor. And when she went to the store for him, he gave her his change. And I didn't understand why you give her the change but didn't give me the change. I'm your daughter, you know. But I shoved the change in his hand and said, you ain't my dad. I hate you. And before I could turn around and walk away, my dad put 4 fingerprints in my face. And I was like, I hate you. I hate you. Why you hit me like that? I hate you. And went upstairs to my bedroom. And when I went to my bedroom, I just laid down on my bed. About 15 minutes later, my dad comes in the room. And when he comes up in my bedroom, I could see his eyes was bloodshot red. I guess he was crying, you know. And when he set me down, he apologized to me for him hitting me the way he hit me. He said, but, baby, you know you hurted me. He said, you hurted me to the core. He said, I have never believed that you would talk to me like that. He said, but let me explain something to you. He said, when you went to the store, you didn't go to the store for me. He said, you went to the store for yourself. He said, you asked me for money for bread, so I gave you money for bread. You went to the store for yourself. So why should I pay you for going to the store when I already gave you money to get the bread that you wanted, you know? I just look at him. I just look at him as he was talking. He said, and you've done all of that and said all those things to me. He said, I never believed that you would talk to me like that. He said, you're my firstborn daughter. He said, and I love you. You know, my nickname is Skinny. He said, I love you, Skinny. He said, you had no business talking to me like that. He said, don't you know the worst thing that could happen between me and you right now? I said, no. He said, I could leave this world. I could have left this world without saying anything to you. He said, but I couldn't do that. As my dad was talking, tears started rolling down my eyes, and he was talking and talking and talking and talking. Things he was saying just had me, and still I was sorry. I was the sorriest kid in the world, you know, but I just didn't understand why he didn't pay me for going to the store. And the moral of the story is I was already paid by getting that loaf of bread that he brought for me that I wanted, you know. So with my dad talking to me, I just was like, oh, God, just beat me. Beat me. I deserve this beating. Just beat me, you know. And just letting you know that discipline, children begs for discipline. And we just have to discipline them in the right way. Amen. And I'm your host, Mother Janice Hudson, and we're at the 1,811th episode of Purpose Kingdom Network. And I just want to thank everybody for their listenership. So if you have a story to tell, tell your story so that we can help bring some lost souls into the kingdom of Christ. Amen. And thank everyone for your listenership. See you in another month. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
In your Bibles, the book of Exodus.
Jesus led.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Devil wanna see me down, I will not lose.
He saved me.